of gray-haired citizens of many villages who retell the tales their grandfathers told them of frontier fights and Indian massacres. And the musty archives of every valley town have their own story of war and sacrifice and the struggles of early border life. This work deals with the period embraced between the years 1609 and 1780. Many characters of national interest figure prominently in the book, and its illustrations have been carefully selected so that the reader may not only read of, but see the more notable landmarks that remain. In compiling this work, I have become indebted to many individuals and many publications for information received, and take this opportunity to gratefully acknowledge assistance from the following named persons and documents. Augustus C. Buell, W. M. Beauchamp, A. N. Ruttenberg, John Fisk, Professor E. N. Horsford, General John S. Clark, Gilbert Wemple, A. R. Grider, Honorable Stephen Sanford, Cyrus B. Chase, Washington Frothingham, Reverend W. E. Griffiths, W. L. Stone's Life of Sir William Johnson, Beers's History of Montgomery, B.J. Lossing's Field Book of the Revolution, Colonial History of New York, Documentary History of New York, Francis Parkman, General James Grant Wilson, Professor Jonathan Pearson's Schenectady Patent, J. Wynne, S.J., David Hutchinson, Library of Congress, Reuben Gold Thwaites' Jesuit Relations, Victor Hugo Palsett's Lenox Library, New York State Library, F.W. Halsey, and a large number of friends that want of space will not permit me to enumerate. W. Max Reed, Amsterdam, New York, October 21, 1901. End of Preface. The Mohawk Valley, Its Legends and Its History, by W. Max Reed. Chapter 1. The Mythical City of Norumbega. It may seem strange to readers of a book that purports to be a history of the Mohawk Valley that the author should go so wide afield as to connect it with the mysterious country 1,000 miles away, and whose exact locality is unknown to this day. Undoubtedly, the mythical city of Norumbega, together with the equally mythical Northwest Passage to India, was an incentive to early navigators to visit the shores of the New World and to explore its eastern coast. Mystery and the marvelous is even now, at the beginning of the 20th century, attractive to the majority of mankind, but how much more so in the 16th century? With the imagination quickened by the discoveries of the Spaniards under Cortes and Pizarro, and the wonderful treasures secured in Mexico and Peru. That the northeast coast of America was visited by Breton, 1504, and Basque fishermen, in search of fish for the Catholic countries of Europe, before the discovery and naming of the St. Lawrence River by Jacques Cartier in 1534 and 5, is a matter of history. And that they should have made temporary homes on the shores near their fishing grounds seems natural, and that in some cases it became necessary to protect their camps by rude forts, more or less strong, seems reasonable. We are therefore inclined to believe that there may be some truth in the traditionary French, Breton, fort, said to have been located on an island near Albany, many years before the voyages of Henry Hudson. The land, river, and city of Norumbega seems to have been known to nearly all of the early navigators of the Atlantic, and the incentive for many a quest by Verrazano in 1524, Alaforce under Roberval in 1543, Thevet in 1556, and Champlain in 1603-14. And it is a wonder when such a story as the following was told and believed. An Englishman had left a record of having seen a city bearing the name of Norumbega, and the city was 3/4 of a mile long. This man, David Ingram, a sailor,